8-1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot, brought to you by...
Thank you, Jack Buck. Shot or No Shot, brought to you by ESPN, betting out live in Illinois. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets with any sportsbook bet. My tip of the day is don't bet on Gary and Teresa from The Golden Bachelor. Their marriage surviving. They're getting a divorce already.
Gary, and come in here.
Loser. We say good morning to someone who's not a loser, Shane.
Oh, thank you. Good morning, boys, on a Friday. Wow, that was really nice.
And we'll tell you
how we doing.
We're good, man. We are good. Ready to go. Rock and roll.
Kaplan, I'm glad that you started with your victory lap on Gary from The Bachelor. Been getting that victory lap in. If you missed it, it's available on the ESPN Chicago app. Opened the show with it. But you have another chance at a victory lap here, because yesterday, the Cubs optioned Jose Kwas to AAA Iowa.
Thank you for listening to the show, Jed.
As you would say, they put him on a prop plane to Des Moines.
Yep.
Shot or no shot, Jose Kwas will never pitch again at Wrigley Field.
That's no shot.
That's a no shot.
There's so many bad bullpens that they're going to have to, eventually, someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to be overused. They're going to need a fresh arm, so to speak, and he'll get back here. And he'll probably soil himself again, but he'll get a shot again, yes.
Yeah, that's a shot because Jed listened to me originally because I just love an effectively wild reliever. That's what we saw, Cap. You never know where the ball's going.
Correct.
When you saw Kwas out there, the old crossfire comes out there. He's incredible. I knew something was going to happen, man, because you can't just keep screwing up like that. But understand, when it came to the last cuts, Kwas barely got on the roster. They had a couple of choices for the bullpen. All right, Kwas, we remember you from last year. Just don't use him so often. And then you see what happened. It blew up on him. He will dominate in the minors. They're going to have to bring him back up. They're going to have to.
He's got good stuff. He just can't harness it. And then when he's got to take a little off and get it over, bam!
Yeah.
He stinks, man. And here's my one issue with Jed. And if he was sitting right here, I'd tell him. You had a decent team, pitching-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Decent. But you had a razor-thin margin for error. Period. And then Steele goes down. Oh, God. All right, we'll bring Ben Brown up. Okay. In your bullpen, Merriweather goes down. You don't have one guy on your pen, even with him, that you go, now that's an all-star level reliever. Like, when the White Sox were trying to compete, when they signed Joe Kelly and Aaron Bummer got a big deal and all these different, they at least were trying with guys when you broke camp who had a proven track record of success. Who do we have that you go, that dude?
You have no one in the bullpen that's a killer. No one. I know you try to shine up Alzolay to me through the winter, but even him, that's not a dominant closer. He's got good stuff.
No, he's more of a seventh, eighth inning
guy. You don't have anybody in the bullpen that's like, oh, my God, wait until this guy comes in. You've piecemealed this together again. But I said, and I'll still stand by it, by the time you get to the deadline, you should be able to have the players that you want to have to go for a playoff push.
Correct.
I'm talking about out of that bullpen because you have to. You have to upgrade it, Cap. Your starting rotation, Imanaga is an unknown. You didn't know if he was going to be dominant or not. We still don't know. I have no idea if Shota can be that guy or not. Jordan Wicks, Kyle Hendricks. That's a fifth starter, barely.
Barely. You're right. And so, Imanaga's pitching in this series now in Seattle.
Yeah.
It's his first road start in the big leagues.
But then we're going after, you're going after Shea about, like, hey, you got to spend money, try to upgrade the team. And we keep hearing all this stuff about RSNs. Well, you know, if you're stagnant, you get what you deserve. This team still is going to be a playoff team. But, man, you've got to be able to really take a good hard look at your roster and say, we like this part of it, but we need to improve this part as we get closer to the deadline. You just got to do it.
You got to do it.
Solidify yourself.
By the way, Jordan Montgomery fired his agent yesterday. Hey, Scott Boras, get out.
Shea.
All right, last night, after listening to Bears Weekly and Black and Abdallah here on ESPN Chicago, I was doing some sampling around the country. A friend of mine in another market did an hour on, I believe O.J. Simpson is innocent. And I said, oh, my God, I got to hear this.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly.
Walked me through a one-hour argument about detailing the theory that his son did it, that if it had actually been O.J., there would have been more blood than there was, that his son was a chef who kept his knives, took them home from the restaurant, was scheduled to be at the house that night to cook dinner for the family, places him at the scene, suffered from intermittent rage disorder, all of these things, and then that the son has basically fallen off the face of the earth, disappeared, you can't find him, you can't talk to him, ever since the day, basically, of the white Bronco chase and of the crime.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to all of this, and I started to think, so shot or no shot, OJ may actually have been innocent.
Okay, your friend needs to get some therapy and some help. First of all, he was not scheduled to be at the house to cook dinner because she went to dinner at one of their favorite places. OJ wasn't invited, by the way. There was a recital that day for the daughter, Sydney. Nicole went to dinner with her kids, her parents. A group was there. OJ was not invited. He had dinner at McDonald's. Believe me, I interviewed Johnny Cochran. I've researched this case extensively. Jason was never scheduled to be at Nicole's house to cook dinner. Ron Goldman brought her glasses, her mother's glasses that she left at the restaurant. That's the only reason he's at the house. Yes, and if you watch the 30 for 30, which I went back and watched some of it again yesterday on the treadmill. I put it on. I'm like, I got to watch it. And Mike Gilbert, his former agent, he said, I asked him one night what happened, and he said if she didn't open the door with a knife, she'd still be alive. That was the quote that he said OJ told him. So your friend does bad research.
So you're saying?
He's not innocent. He's as guilty as sin. Burn in hell.
To be clear, I didn't come away from this with a changed opinion like I feel the way Cap does. I just thought it was riveting that somebody did an hour of radio talking about this.
Wow.
You know, there was reasonable doubt, like any case, right? Clearly, the jury looked at this and said that, you know, when they had the whole gloves thing. And by the way, Christopher Darden, one of the reasons why that OJ was able to get off of this is because the other team that with Darden and Marsha Clark,
and
they weren't very good.
And Bill Hodgman,
They just weren't very good at their job. See, they did not convince that jury that OJ was guilty. They did not.
Well,
they did a horrible job. You go through
you're
it.
Correct.
They were horrible at it, especially Darden. A horrible job of trying to explain why OJ Simpson was guilty.
And in the 30 for 30, one of the jurors said, when they put Darden up there and he had him try the gloves on, that was the stupidest thing. We all went, she goes, I'm 24 years old. I know where this is going.
Yes.
And what are you doing?
She
said, if he didn't make him put the gloves on, I would have assumed they fit.
Yes. See? And that's why the jury looked at Darden also very shaky in that scenario. Listen, I know the whole world's watching. We're talking about 90-plus million people every day watching this trial.
It was insane.
Every day.
Every day.
So
for a year.
But it's still you have to do your job. And so, if nothing else, the reason why that OJ was able to walk is because of Clark and Darden in that group.
Correct.
That's the reason. So, I mean, I've always thought that OJ, based on the footprints, based on the evidence, was the murderer of those two people.
Yes, correct.
With his son having full knowledge of what happened also. In the same day. That's what I've always believed. That he was also had knowledge of what was going on that same day.
Yeah, OJ flew to Chicago. People don't remember this. Mm-hmm. And he stayed, I don't know what it's called now, but it's a hotel on 90, right out by Cumberland.
Yeah.
It used to be called the O'Hare Plaza. That's where he checked in.
Yep.
And the son was not at the house when OJ left. It was just him and Cato. Mm-hmm. Cato Kalin, who we've had on this show before.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason wasn't around. So I don't know what he knew. It was just, it was amazing that he walked. There were a lot of people that shocked, but when you watch the 30 for 30, and if you haven't, I highly recommend it. It's five parts. It's amazing. They interviewed jurors, and they said, hey, here's what we were thinking. It's truly an incredible documentary.
It's a complete tie-in, and I know these are separate cases, but it's the tumult that was happening in our country. Do you think we're going through it now? During that time with Rodney King.
Yeah.
And the beating that he had on tape where everyone could see it at the hands of the LAPD.
Yeah.
There was a direct tie-in. There's a direct line of demarcation between those two stories.
Correct.
Probably from the way the juror looks at it.
What the juror said.
Yeah.
We all saw Rodney King. This was payback. Right.
Even though these are separate cases.
Correct.
There was a correction there that was made.
That's correct.
All right, Jay.
All right, yesterday, Tom Brady.
Oh, God. He's as bad as Gary Turner.
He would not rule out a potential late-season return to the NFL as a potential emergency quarterback. He even named the Patriots and the Raiders as potential landing spots for his services. Shot or no shot, Tom Brady will play NFL football again.
It's a no shot. But this is no different than Brett Favre or Sugar Ray Leonard or some of these guys that just can't let go because they don't know what's on the other side. They just know that every day they're regimented and they're used to playing. They're used to being in the sport that they love. And even though they say, okay, I'm going to let it go, yeah, but then what happens when you don't have to go to practice anymore, when you're not meeting with coaches and you don't have that familiarity with your teammates and you're just alone or you're with family? That some guys cannot let that go. Some can say, yep, I'm done. I'm going to go into selling homes or I'm going to go into finance, whatever it is. But guys like Tom Brady, you would think after everything he's gone through, you would think, okay, I'm finally done with football. I was able to come back after the Patriots and still win a championship with Tampa. And it's still not enough. He still cannot. The taste is still there. He still can't let it go. Sugar Ray Leonard is another perfect example. That guy was at the top of his game as a boxer, as you remember, Cap. But he just kept coming back, and he got made fun of because he had like two or three retirements, Leonard, if you recall.
Correct.
So just for Tom Brady, the same thing. You would think that all the money he's going to make in television would be enough. It's not even about money. It's just about being with the guys, being on the team. Dude, he can't let it go.
You remember what Waddle said to us. He's like, look, the money's cool, you know. But he said, what I miss is the bus rides, the plane trips, the locker room, acting like a three-year-old with 52 other guys that are also acting like a three-year-old. And when that goes away, you never, ever get that back. The closest you get is the ball busting that goes on here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the closest, and it's nothing comparable, but it's the closest. And that's why I believe Waddle is the way he is, like he's the greatest. I love that dude. Truly love that dude. When he comes in and you're busting balls. Dude, that's a locker room. That's the one thing I miss about coaching.
Yeah, I mean, that's
what goes on in the room.
There's perfect examples of those that you thought it's just done. And then they end up coming back. Now, some have to come back because they look around and he goes, boy, I made this much and how much do we have left? Hon, what happened to the money?
All right.
Gave it to family.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, because now you sit down and actually look at your finances. All right, I'm retired. I know we got a nice nest egg. Oh, we don't? After all this blood, sweat, and tears is all we. Oh, I gotta get back in there.
Right?
It's like I gotta keep working here because it's not it's the money that we have. I thought we had more. Uh-oh.
Right.
So that's the thing, though, the camaraderie.
That's what you miss,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
It's the camaraderie.
All right, Around the NFL is next on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show.
Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's time to go around the NFL right here on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Jesse Rogers will join us with baseball coming up at 8:35. The movie quote quiz at 8:50. Around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right. Everybody asks about these draft prospects. Who are they going to be in the pros? Well, NFL.com's Lance Zierlein is here to help.
Mm-hmm.
Compare Joe Burrow in his draft to Kurt Warner back in 2020. Compare Quinnen Williams to Jonathan Allen. Those ended up being pretty accurate. This year, he compared the Bears' presumptive number one pick, Caleb Williams, to Pro Bowl quarterback Kyler Murray. So before I get into the targets at nine, I will ask, is that good enough?
No, it is not. No, it is not. I'll throw this Bears hat in the water if that's going to be the case. No. No. And you know what? He's better than that. He's better than that. Come on now. I'm not a Kyler Murray fan. I think he's very limited. It's nice as Mighty Mouse, but not as a guy that can help you win football games on a regular basis. No. If he's Kyler Murray, then we're sunk.
Yeah.
How about that?
We're effed.
How about Joe Burrow and Kurt Warner for a comp?
I'd take that.
That's very interesting.
But okay, so
very interesting.
Shay, where did he post all this?
It was on NFL.com.
Okay.
Now, the Caleb Williams thing with Kyler Murray, I know people are down on Kyler Murray now. The thing I think people do forget is before that injury a few years ago, Kyler Murray was an MVP favorite.
Fine.
So if we can get that version of Kyler out of chaos, I mean, listen, if we get MVP favorite, I'll be happy.
Hardliner on that. Absolutely not, Shay. Absolutely not. That can't be. If that's his ceiling, the Bears are sunk.
Just let Caleb know now. Put the sticks down and watch the tape. If you're really Kyler Murray, put the Xbox controller down. Let's watch some tape.
No, just the whole makeup, the quarterback. No, it's got to be better than that, Cap. No.
It has to be.
All right.
He rated him, by the way, a 6.74 on his scale. And 6.74 is a Pro Bowl year one starter.
For Caleb Williams.
And he rated him as going into the combine, quarterback rank one on production score, 98. 100's perfect. Athleticism, 89, fourth best. Total score 96, number one prospect at the position.
Fine. But that can't be the comp.
No.
All right, what else?
Kyler Murray. He better not like video games either. Period. I don't want to hear your hand hurts because you play video games all night.
Thanks for listening.
Here's Shay Norling.
I'm just telling you, I'm going to drive up there. I'm going to break in the house. Go, yeah, the Xbox, bam! Yeah. Get to work.
I know.
Is there an Echo hoodie?
Oh, well, I do with this every day.
No, I'm just telling you. You didn't say you're a break in the house. I said I am. I'm willing to go to jail for the Bears.
Go ahead.
All right. He has eight target players here for the Bears and their pro comps. The way I want to do this, I'll take you through their pro comps, and then which of these pro players would be the most attractive to you to add to the Bears.
Okay.
For Roma Dunze, the pro comp is Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
Very good. Very good.
Yes.
He also has, he did not list Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison as potential targets, which I imagine, like, we know they're going to be off the board. Tight end Brock Bowers, George Kittle.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, I think the sky's the limit for that young man. Bowers is going to help a team in a big way.
Pretty good, kid.
Oh, doctor.
Yeah.
I was a bit surprised by that because George Kittle's known for elite run blocking, and Brock Bowers doesn't do much of that.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine he can grow into it, but the hands, the quasi-wide receiver speed, because he's not slow and he's not elite fast, but it's somewhere in the between, I think that he could really be a difference maker. I really do. All right, give us more.
Left tackle out of Alabama, J.C. Latham. Was compared to Jawan Taylor.
All right. That'll work.
Solid player. Yeah. He just visited Hatless, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. What else?
Also offensive tackle Talese Fuaga compared to Taylor Decker.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
I'll take a Taylor Decker from the Lions.
Yeah, that's top shelf.
Edge rusher Jared Verse got Lamar Woodley.
Mm-hmm. All right. You don't like that, JC. You don't like that as much.
It's all right.
All right.
Edge rusher Laiatu Latu. T. T.J. Watt.
Okay.
Oh, put a little hype on the kid, why don't you?
Okay. Wow. That's a reach.
Now, he had a heart issue that they had thought was going to end his career.
Yeah.
Then he came back after he got cleared medically. There are going to be NFL teams that go, ah, boy, am I taking that with that kind of medical history? Mm. I don't know. I like, he's a great player. Mm-hmm. I like Dallas Turner better than Verse, but we'll see.
I think that's quite the reach, but go ahead.
Dallas Turner, Cap, I'm glad you brought him up. Pro comp, Brian Burns.
Sign me up.
Yep.
Sign me up.
That'll work for a decade.
Now a Giant, he was a Panther.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then the final.
Yellow. JC.
That just surprised me. All right, the final name.
Music, JC. Jeez.
Hello.
Segment runs to late 30.
JC.
Sorry. Eric and I are troubleshooting something back here.
We're good. Well, what about the show?
We're good.
Tell Eric that part of the gig when you're the chief engineer, if we're on the air, you got to wait.
You know, when Eric and I are working nights together, this is when the engineers would come in. You want to do it in the evening? Okay. Morning drive is where we are the. It's unbelievable. Let's try this now.
Would they do that on Waddle and Sylvie?
Wow. Oh.
No shot.
Dude, no.
What's happening?
Yes, Mark. No problem.
There is a problem. What happened to the music, Waddle?
Yeah, that would be a problem. Now we're back.
The final name on the list, wow. Defensive tackle Byron Murphy out of Texas.
Yep.
Pro comp Ed Oliver, the Buffalo Bill longtime defensive tackle.
Ed Oliver's a beast.
That's awesome.
Beast.
So these are your eight pro options. Tell me which is the most attractive. Larry Fitzgerald, George Kittle, Juwan Taylor, Taylor Decker, Lamar Woodley, T.J. Watt, Brian Burns, and Ed Oliver.
Well, I'd love to drop T.J. Watt in his age 22 season on my team.
I think that comp's a reach, though. I think that's nice to say, but I think that's a reach.
But if that one pans out, sign me up.
Yeah, no question.
Best pass rusher in the league.
Yes. I do like that one the best. All right, Shay.
All right, I want to ask you about this Aaron Rodgers thing.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers back in the news because he went on the I Can Fly podcast and had a lengthy interview where...
R. Kelly's doing a podcast?
Okay.
But I hope not.
That's not... That is not the podcast.
I'm fighting for my life!
It's a different...
fighting for my life!
Different I Can Fly podcast.
Well, I would say he let it fly, all right.
Aaron Rodgers had a lengthy interview where he claimed... Joe Biden is not the real Joe Biden, alluded to a conspiracy that puts RFK's life in danger, and once again out of nowhere slammed Anthony Fauci. I mean, my question with all of this, if you're the New York Jets, just from a football standpoint, the mess that was last year with the Rodgers injury and everything we heard about him ghosting Zach Wilson, not being a good teammate, all of these different things, now he's getting himself in the news every couple weeks for some ridiculous political spewing. At some point, if you're the Jets, don't you say, Aaron, can you stop talking?
Yes. You can't take the mic and say that we got to focus more on football. Everyone's focused on other stuff. We got to focus on the team. That's the only way we can win. And then he could just do whatever. Wait a minute. I thought you said that you got to focus on football. I guess he meant everyone else except him. He's an arrogant SOB. That's who he is. Narcissistic to the nth degree. Hell of a football player, definitely a Hall of Famer. From a personality standpoint, I don't care where his politics lean. I don't care about that. I just care about someone who's trying to cast aspersions on his teammates, but yet he can do whatever he wants. I can't take that. I can't do it. I can't work with someone like that. You mean tell me, you're telling me what I need to do, but you don't do it, you don't follow suit? Who are you? I'm Aaron Rodgers. What does that mean? You're a quarterback, but you're a man just like I am. You're telling me what to do? And tell me and suggesting what's best for me, and you don't do it? Who are you? Absolutely not. Horrible teammate. Go ahead, defend him.
No, I'm not. I can't. Still like to sit down and talk to the dude.
Of course. But... Yeah, it'd be like you're looking in the mirror.
Oh, that's not right.
What? I'm just saying. That's what Mindy said.
No.
What did Mindy say? She said, you got that award for YouTube? And she said, that's cool. You can see yourself in the reflection. Remember? It was on tape. It was funny.
I would like to talk to him. I don't agree with him on 99% of the things he thinks. I think he'd be an interesting cat to talk to. I was stunned by some of his commentary. Stunned.
I think that you can sidle up to him and say, let's break this down a little further. You said that's not really the president. Who do you think it is?
I don't know if he's... Is he high when he does these podcasts?
High?
What are you looking at me for? He did acid? He talked about it openly? Said he was not one of the greatest moments of his life. Was on a beach doing acid with his buddies.
Ayahuasca, too.
And ayahuasca.
He was doing the I Can Fly podcast during a peyote trip.
That's my question. Was he under the influence? Like, I've never woken up and thought, they got JFK Jr. I never have thought that. Like, where does he come up with this stuff? This just never crossed my... Really? Wow. That's an out there take.
Yeah, I mean, but it clears his mind, though. Isn't that supposed to open your mind to more things?
I don't know. I've never done peyote.
I mean, like the ayahuasca, because we talked about it.
I would never do that stuff. My idea of a good time is not 4 hours heaving my guts out and claiming it's a religious experience. I don't get it. I don't understand people that do that stuff. Like, get in this alternate reality. I don't get it.
You'd rather just bet the horses, right?
Yeah, I'd rather have a same-game parlay. Yes. Have a couple glasses of wine. I'm not a big drinker, but I'll have some. I've taken a gummy, had a good time.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Ayahuasca, puke your guts out for hours, feel like you're dying, and then say you saw God? Really? Okay. You do you, kid.
Don't forget, Cap, we got that Hawthorne free bet contest between now and 9 o'clock.
Yes, you'll have a chance to win a $1,000 free wager when you hear a horse sounder, and caller 10 will win a 4-pack to go to Club Hawthorne. And you better get your reservations in now for the Kentucky Derby, because it will be sold out. It is every year. It's a great day to have some fun with the ponies and win a $1,000 free wager. You bet the right horse, you're making a lot of money.
All right, Jesse Rogers with baseball. That's coming up next on the Cap'n Jay Hood Morning Show.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Jesse Rogers is with us, and he's brought to you by the West Coast Men's Health. Hey, they've been helping men with ED and chronic pain for more than 5 years. Go to westcoastmenshealth.com. Jesse joins us on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show, and he's on the hotline.
That be the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Good morning, Jesse. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning to you guys. Happy Friday. What's happening?
What's going on, Jess? So, obviously, Jed's listening to the show because we got rid of that Jose Quas on a prop plane to Des Moines. Jess. What are we doing here, man? Merriweather's out for who knows how long with a stress fracture in his rib. We've got no Justin Steele. Tyone's down in the minors on a rehab assignment. Kyle Hendricks looks like he belongs in the 60 and over league with me. So what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's tough this early in the season to make a deal or to go down to the minors and grab someone that's of significance.
I don't want to hear that, Jess. We're in a freaking run here.
I hear you. They're probably going to call up someone like Hayden Wesneski, by the way. You know, someone on the 40-man roster. He's my best bet, maybe. You know, Keegan Thompson's still around, but I know those guys don't necessarily excite you. I heard you yesterday. I don't disagree. I think in this day and age, with the haves and have-nots, you know, there's so many teams, like, out of it already. You can make those phone calls and try to pick, you know, a reliever off a bad team. There's not many good relievers on bad teams for obvious reasons. I mean, if the White Sox had a couple relievers, that'd be a good one to call, because Chris Getz, I think, would do a trade at any point. You know, a lot of teams wait till June or July to see what they have. But Like, if you are the Marlins or the White Sox, why not do something if it can benefit your team long term?
That's what I said. But again,
I know you did. But the White Sox don't have any good relievers. I mean, I don't think there's one Sox reliever you would take. I don't even. I mean, yeah, you can maybe. That seems like it's a little early for something like that. I don't think the Cubs would give up a lot for him. And if he develops into a really good reliever, then Getz could cash in July. His last outing was great, but that would be the one guy. You're right. That would be the one guy. And I think Getz would trade him. I think Getz would trade anybody on that team. I don't know about the other GMs, like the Marlins guy. You know, he's new. So in any case, I don't disagree with you. He didn't do enough last July. He didn't do enough in the offseason, and it's already come back to bite them. Let's see how things play out. I do think in a month's time, you'll see some guys in the minors emerge. It's just too early to see who those guys are right now, so they're going to have to bite the bullet. But you're right. I heard you the other day when Taillon and Steele comes back, you are going to be a little bit deeper, and hopefully you can survive with the pen that you have. But let me take offense with one thing you guys have been saying these last few days, because I've been listening. You keep overlooking their best reliever. Mark Leiter Jr. has the second best pitch in baseball. His splitter is as good as it gets. And he was really good last year until the end because he got overused. Not because of David Ross, but because Jed didn't give him a deep enough bullpen. He's off to a great start. I blame Council for not having him available in that debacle on Monday night, because Council pitched him Saturday and Sunday in low leverage situations, losing 4-1 and winning 7-0, and he couldn't pitch Monday. So don't disparage Mark Leiter Jr. He's a really good reliever. They just need to utilize him in the best spots possible.
You make valid
points.
As
much as often.
I don't think we disparaged him, but I also don't think that you go, hey, man, here's Ohtani at the plate with the pennant on the line. Oh, Mark Leiter Jr. doesn't engender incredible confidence. Good. He's okay. I'm glad we got him.
I get that. By the way, last weekend he struck out Ohtani, Freeman, and Teoscar Hernandez in the ninth inning in that 4-1 deficit game. So I agree with you. He's not the best. He's just the best they have,
yep.
And he's getting better. And I agree with you about having some doubts about Alzolay, right? That's why I did not like the idea of a 5-out save this early in the season for a guy that was injured last year. So you're right. They are short, and they were short. Hector Neris not off to the best start, but he's proven. But let's let these guys, you know, cook a little bit. It's early April, but Kwas has been bad, and Yancy Almonte hasn't been great either. So already two guys that you were counting on haven't been great.
So what are your thoughts on the ball club overall through 12 games, winning the series against the Dodgers, losing the series against the San Diego Padres, and now off to Seattle? What's your thoughts on the ball club?
I mean, I think they've overachieved on offense, and you see there's moments that they're coming back down to earth, but it's still a good offense that grinds, that's probably going to have a good year. Seiya Suzuki, absolutely amazing. There's more to his story about why he's become the hitter that he's become. Morel's ceiling is high. Those are the two guys I talked about in spring training with the highest ceiling. So, Jay Hood, I think at the plate, I think we're realizing who they are, a deeper lineup than last year that can grind out some at-bats. I think on the mound is the question mark. Even when they get Taillon and Steele back, are they deep enough to last the 162, the 6 or 7 months you want to see? Of course, the trade deadline should help, but are they deep enough on the mound, whether it be the starting staff? Are they good enough on the mound, whether it be the starting staff or the bullpen? But I think at the plate, it's been overly impressive. I don't think they'll keep up the pace that they were on, but I think it's foreshadowing who they can be over the long haul.
The kid in Kansas City that we gave up for Kwas, Hoodies guy Kwas, Nelson, yeah, Velasquez.
Yeah.
Dude, this dude's off to a 325 start with a 922 OPS, couple bombs, 13 hits, scored 7 runs, driven in 6. We give away these prospects, and this is not a shot at Ian Happ. But I had to pay him $60 million when I could have had a kid out there who's a really good player?
Well, that's the price of doing business. I mean, I heard you the other day say, hey, we have a good farm system, trade a couple guys for a reliever. I mean, that's what they did.
Yeah, but Jose Kwas?
It
stinks.
Yeah, Nelson Velasquez, well, you know, was a good prospect, but not the best. I mean, they have some good prospects down below, so I'm not sure Velasquez would have had a spot. Canario. Owen Casey's going to be a starter in this league. So I understand it. You're right. Quas wasn't the best pickup. He just wasn't the best pickup. Those sidearm, especially righties, they better be on their game, or they're going to get rocked. And you know, he's been getting rocked by lefties, and it's sometimes righties as well. So you're right. It was not the best pickup, at least so far. But I get the idea of trying to add your bullpen. We've just been critical. He didn't do enough. He did one thing there, and it wasn't maybe the right guy. So I don't know what else to say.
Jesse, any Shaq Schnoos? I mean, I'm looking at this guy on ESPN.com, Cap. Jesse Rogers, the White Sox matched the 1962 Mets with 120 losses.
So they asked, what you wrote. Yeah, they asked us to give an early season hot take, purposely, you know, something get over your skis on. And I said the Sox are going to lose 120. Now, I didn't say that because I'm a hater. Said that because obviously the start they're on, but also what I said earlier, Getz, as much as anybody else managing a team, general managing a team, is going to continue to rip apart this team.
Tune in.
So come July and beyond, and remember, I mean, we're not going to see Moncada again. If Eloy comes back, he could be traded. Like, come July, he's going to continue to rip apart this team. So the final 2 months are going to be a disaster, and it's already going to be a disaster right now, right? It already is. So I'm just feeling like if you want a hot take, I think they might get to 120 because it's going to be a completely, you know, different team come after the trade deadline, whereas right now they have a completely new pitching staff. So I don't see the end in sight in terms of the losing. So that was my hot take. I don't know. What do you think?
Look, it's embarrassing where that team is. I mean, you literally look at the White Sox bullpen and you're like, I take a flyer on Kopech, see if he can become something. But other than that, that team is awful.
If Kopech's, again, the better anybody is in the first half, the more likely they'll be traded. And then you bring up somebody that's never played. And so the second half is going to be even worse potentially than the first half in terms of win percentage. Because you're right, if Kopech's good, you could get something for him come July. You know, some team that lost a few relievers aren't good, like the Cubs. Like, so anybody that's good is going to be traded because Chris Getz is going to continue to do this. So that's why I think 120 is at least a crazy possibility.
Jesse, have a great day, man.
All right, have a great weekend, boys. Talk to you soon.
All right, you too. See you.
Jesse Rogers with us, brought to you by West Coast Men's Health.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Make me feel better.
Don't worry, call the car at Smith.
Cap's Movie Quote Challenge, next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Uh-oh.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We're going to hear from Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears in the NFL at 9:18. But first, it's time for you, sir, to listen to Shay Norling because he's got some movie quotes for you. The Cap Movie Quiz. Here's Shay Norling.
Last week,
not going to go well. I'm not a movie guy.
I don't know, Cap. I think you might do better than expected here. Last week, he was all offended. I said, I drink your milkshake from There Will Be Blood was a famous movie quote. I've since found it on a list of the top 100 movie quotes of all time, for what it's worth. Cap, you were unfamiliar. I want to see some other quotes that I have deemed famous. I have 9 of them. Before we get to it, Hoodie, I want to hear from you. I will give a guess, and Cantu can give a guess. How many of these 9 do we think Cap will get?
I'm going to set my partner at 4.
4? Nice.
I'm going to go under. I'm going to go. He's going to be at 3. I think he gets right.
I actually believe in Kaplan. I'm hopeful for my friend. I'm going to say he goes 5 for 9 minimum. I think I picked some recognizable stuff here.
Okay.
Let's get started with cut number 1 from a Francis Ford Coppola classic.
Nothing else in the world smells like that. I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
That's Platoon.
No!
Oh, Full Metal Jacket.
No! It's Apocalypse Now!
Oh, sorry. I knew it was one of those war movies.
How did you pick the 2 Vietnam movies that it's not?
Close, though. It was a war, right?
Right.
It's close.
Yeah, it was a war.
I think that's a win. 1 for Cap.
Oh, we're counting that?
Well, no. I mean, it's in the same genre.
No shot.
All right.
All right, now let's try cut number two. I'm less hopeful for this one. A Peter Jackson classic. Who? Kaplan.
Who's Peter Jackson?
Go back to the shadow.
I have no idea. I don't know. Is
Come
that
on.
Godzilla?
No, it is not a Godzilla.
Star Wars.
Yeah, somewhat closer. Lord of the Rings, maybe?
It is Lord of the Rings. The first in the trilogy, The Fellowship of the Ring.
Never saw it, so sorry.
But close, though.
Never even heard of Peter Jackson.
So that's
I figured
two.
He was like a two-guard for the Pistons.
All right, let's try cut number three.
Out of Louisville.
Cap, if you don't get this one, I will personally be disappointed. I'll be actually hurt on a personal level.
Oh, boy.
You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
I mean, they got the metric system. They wouldn't know what the quarter pounder is.
And what do they call it?
They call it Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
John Travolta, Samuel L. Jackson.
Pulp Fiction.
That's correct. Well done. I needed you to get that one home for
Thank
me.
You.
So we're on the board with, do we have one or two, Hoodie? I need
one.
A judgment. One? All right, let's go to number four. I think Carmen will be disappointed you don't get this.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
Casablanca.
That's correct. We're up to two.
Brought to you by Turner Classic Movies.
That's right.
Correct.
That's very good.
This may start being on Turner Classic Movies somewhat soon. And Cap, if you don't get it, everyone in the world will be aghast.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
We'll run that one instead. This is the. It was not the one I was expecting. This is a nice movie that was filmed in Chicago, Cappy.
What?
Play it again, please.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
The Batman movie. Batman Returns or whatever it is.
Close enough.
One That's Sylvie close enough. You got the
close
Batman
enough. Dark
movie.
Knight. Very
Dark
good.
Dark Knight, yeah.
We'll
Sylvie
call that
got
three.
Me to watch that.
Very good. See?
Back to the one that people will be amazed if you can't get.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
I've heard that so often.
That's Rambo.
It is not Rambo. I'm going to walk you into it.
Oh,
Tom
that's
Cruise,
Maverick.
Val Kilmer.
Maverick.
It's not Maverick,
not Maverick
either.
Well, he's Maverick. It's Top Gun.
That's correct.
Yeah.
The original Top
the original,
Gun.
Original, yeah.
Do we count
I thought,
that? I can't. Yeah, it's a Rambo. I can't count that.
I knew it. I thought it was the guy who just died. Oh, what's his name? Colonel Troutman. But it was not him. If you play the sound again, it sounded like Colonel Troutman.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
That's the bald-headed dude, not Colonel Troutman. That's the deck commander. How's it feel to be on the front page of every English-speaking newspaper in the free world? You have any idea where you want to go?
There you go.
Top Gun, sir.
A true Cap classic. Number seven, this Rob Reiner classic.
I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
Poseidon Adventure.
Classic. I say yes.
Rob, Meg Ryan, Billy Crystal.
No idea.
When Harry Met Sally.
Okay.
That's a classic.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
All right, number eight. Jodie Foster, Academy Award winner.
Mm-hmm. Same birthday as me.
Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know I can't make that promise.
I do wish we could chat longer, but...
Love your suit.
I'm having an old friend for dinner.
Love your suit. That's Silence of the Lambs.
That is Silence of the Lambs. Are we at four right now?
Five.
Five. I told you I believed in Kaplan.
Mm-hmm.
And the final cut. Jake?
Son of a bitch. He stole my life.
I couldn't even hear what that was.
Son of a bitch, he stole my line.
Bill Clinton, State of the Union, 1994. I have no idea.
It's a Goodwill Hunting. But you got to five. I told you I believed in my partner, my friend here, David Kaplan.
How about that, Hoodie? Take that.
What am I taking? I said you can get four. You said you could get zero.
Kansas is the only one who didn't believe in you.
I thought I would have said two.
I set it at four, got five.
There you go.
And actually, he's trying to squeeze another one in there for you early.
Take that, Cantu.
Well, you came in here boasting that you didn't watch any movies.
I don't watch a lot of movies. I don't.
Me either. I'm a small screen guy.
You're a TV aficionado.
Yes, unfortunately.
Which blows me and my brother away, your depth of knowledge on TV shows.
Houston, we have a problem. That's
the
coming
70s.
In. Yeah. Dream scenario for the Bears with the number 9 pick. Also, Courtney Cronin joins us at 9:18. We're back in 2 minutes on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.